Yes. So we had an introduction about the 24 gurus, and I explained that our gurus today will be the earth, the mountain, the tree, the air, and the sky. And we're going to ask 5 questions about these gurus. First, what lesson do we learn from this guru? And second, how did Srila Prabhupada exemplify this quality that we learned from this guru? And third, because we're here in Braj, we will ask the question of how do we see this guru in Braj? For example, the earth. How do we see the earth in Braj, the mountain in Braj, the tree in Braj? It's a little bit different from the mountain in this world and the earth in this world. It's a bit different. So we'll get into the dust of Vrindavan today, even though you can't sit in it, but we will try to imagine. Or you could, later on in the day, you can go and bathe in the dust of Vrindavan. Is it? Okay. Better? Can you hear better? Or is it? Okay. What's that?
We're trying to get a lot of people to see you for, like, the whole world, so we're going to need to get the camera on.
Okay, so what to do? What shall I do?
The one girl that you have. Maybe I'll just...
Somebody's in the way, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, this is live.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to everybody out there in internet land, all over the world. It's not broadcast. Okay. All right. We're not live. We're dead. Okay. Earth. So, before we discuss the earth and the lessons we learned from the earth, I would just like to throw out a question to you. When you think of the earth, what qualities do you think of that the earth possesses? When you just think of the earth, yes?
Tolerance.
Tolerance, okay, well, yes, that's the lesson we're going to learn.
Anything? Nourishing.
Nourishing, yes.
Giving.
Giving. Yes, these are the qualities of the earth. The earth is our mother, one of our 7 mothers. So a mother gives everything for the child. She sacrifices her own health. She sacrifices everything. So the earth is like that. She sacrifices everything for us so that we can live very peacefully, happily. Everything we get from the earth, we get our food, we get our clothing, we get our shelter. Everything is coming from Mother Earth. So what a wonderful mother we have, Mother Earth. So what does the verse say? The verse talks about the earth's tolerance. And in the purport of the verse from 11th canto, this is 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, it is said this, I'll read this, a sober person, even when harassed by other living entities, should understand that his aggressors are acting helplessly under the control of God. Thus he should never be distracted from progress on his own path. So sometimes we have people who give us trouble. Maybe not sometimes, maybe all the time. Because it's one of the threefold miseries. Adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik. The mind is always giving us trouble. Other people are giving us trouble. And the elements, the demigods, are giving us trouble. So here we can learn from the earth how to tolerate these. And that's Krishna's first instruction in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that tam stitiksha subharata. That's all you can do, is tolerate. It's the first instruction, just tolerate. So what is the behavior of a person who tolerates? A person who tolerates, he understands, I am not this body. And so therefore he goes on with his devotional service, as Arjuna went on, although it was very painful for him to fight against his own family members. Still he went on. So the earth tolerates deep ill dwelling, atomic explosions, pollution, harassment, and now this bracking. They take out the natural gas, which I heard causes earthquakes. So the earth is tolerating so many things. But actually, at one point, the earth will become so unhealthy that we will get the reaction from this. So this is the lesson we learn. It's very simple, tolerance. How did Srila Prabhupada exemplify this quality? Malati, would you like to, do you have an example of how Prabhupada was tolerant? Yeah, right. Considering his disciples. He tolerated us. I'll repeat it. So at your initiation ceremony, you're unaware of proper behavior and protocol.
We had just some idea.
You had some idea.
What we mainly understood is that we're going to be tied around your neck.
Right, yeah, you're going to get these little things to tie around your neck. And what was that? Okay, it's a dog color. It's mercy. Yes, I can.
Become the willing dog.
Become the willing dog of the spiritual master. Okay.
We have never experienced a situation before. Everything was kind of semi-bewildering.
Okay, it was bewildering. Fire, the mantras. Filled with smoke. Bananas. You didn't know what to do with the bananas. So you were peeling them. Okay, you heard right. He was telling you to bow down.
Well, but our temple president, who just was initiated, he thought he understood what he was telling us to do.
Uh-huh.
So we followed his direction, so we leaned forward and started blowing on the fire.
You started blowing on the fire. You thought he said blow instead of bow down. So you blew on the fire. And Prabhupada's eyes got big. Right.
So when you saw that, he just picked up
the cartels. Pick up the cartels and start a kirtan. He wasn't perturbed. Okay. So I'll continue now. So but keep the microphone handy. Be prepared in case I ask something from somebody. So I'll just give an example from Guru Das. One time in Delhi, there was a man who was instructed to look after Prabhupada's mail. So he used to take Prabhupada's letters and steal the money from the letters, the donations. And after he was caught, one student asked Prabhupada, well, if he is not dealt with, will he have to suffer for the offense at the feet of a pure devotee? And Prabhupada said, well, there's only one thing to do. The student said, should we arrest him? Prabhupada said, no, forgive him. That was Srila Prabhupada. So we can follow Srila Prabhupada's example in our dealings with devotees. Now I'll ask you a third question, well, we had our, that was our two questions. Third question is, when you think of the earth or the dust of Vrindavan, what do you think of? Yes, Srimati.
Lord Nanda Saraswati tells us that every speck of dust in Vrindavan is imprinted with the names of Radha Shyam.
Okay, every speck of dust is imprinted with the names of Radha Shyam. And Sachinandan Swami says every speck of dust has the lotus feet of Radha Shyam. Yes, Prashanta, up here.
I see.
Oh, back, okay, just keep it there. Oh, Bhagavati said the very same thing in front of... Which one? The lotus feet? Oh, what Srimati said, the names of Radha and Krishna. Okay, Prashanta?
When I think of the dust of Vrindavan, I think very soft. I think soft.
Soft. Mm-hmm. Chintamani. So Vrindavan dust is very, very special. Whenever Krishna would walk on the land of Vrindavan, behind him lotuses would sprout up, land lotuses. Usually we hear of lotuses in the water, but these were land lotuses, just caused by his walking in Vrindavan. So Brahma prays to become the dust of Vrindavan because he would just like to take birth anywhere, so he would get the dust of the lotus feet on his head. And Uddhava had the same prayer. He had the same prayer that I would just like to bathe myself in the dust of the lotus feet of the residents. And Lord Brahma said, if I'm not so fortunate to be born in the forest of Vrindavan, let me be born outside, maybe just even a stone in the path. Let me just be a stone in the path and get the dust. And dust can control lust. The Aborigine ladies, when they saw the dust, they took the dust from the leaves and the kumkum, they put it on their breasts, and they became free of lust. So this dust is very powerful, the dust of Vrindavan. And Akura, he rolled in the dust, and he gave up fear, lamentation, and all sorts of things by rolling in the dust. So you can try it sometime. Don't be, find a quiet place, a secluded place. Don't just do it, anywhere. But it's nice. In a lecture, Prabhupada said, don't try to become gopis. Like there's a fad in Vrindavan now, and maybe other places, that we should all become gopis, or manjaris at least, or something. But Prabhupada said, don't try to become gopis. Rather, try to become the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. And then he quoted, gopi bartu padakamalayor das dasam. This is Lord Chaitanya's mood, to become the dust. And this is the meditation of the gopis. So Prabhupada, not Prabhupada, but in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, talks about the queens, that the first 8 queens were very satisfied in their relationship with Krishna, but the other 16,100 queens, they wanted to go to Vrindavan. They wanted to have the dust of Vrindavan. And so a comment, one of the Vishnu Chakravarti says that some commentators give this as the reason why after Moksha Lila, these queens were stolen from Arjuna by Krishna in the form of cowherd boys, and he took them to Braj. So the dust of Vrindavan is very, very powerful. And I'd just like to give another. Prabhupada says these, if you commit an offense in Braj, then you can become a cow or, not a cow, a hog, dog, or monkey in Braj. But then because you're always bathing in the dust, you're getting purified. And then you, as a hog and as a monkey and as a dog, you don't commit any offense. So you just go straight back to Godhead because you're bathing in the dust. And the dust is very powerful. And so imagine, here we are, we have this opportunity to touch the dust of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada also said that in one lecture that the people come here and they put the dust on their head. They understand the importance of the dust of Vrindavan, because when you take the dust of Braj on your head, you're taking Krishna's lotus feet dust on your head. So Pushta Krishna asked Srila Prabhupada that the dust is personal, the dust in Goloka, and so we have experience of personal form. Even Krishna's form is personal. How is the dust of Vrindavan personal? So Prabhupada gave an answer. He said, if you want something from that dust, he was in somewhere in the world, you won't get it. But if you want anything from this dust, you will get it. So the dust is like desire trees, the dust of Vrindavan. Now, let us go back to the earth, back to earth. We learned the lesson of tolerance. And Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur has a very nice meditation, which if you do, you will become humble. Anybody here need to become a little bit more humble? Okay, so let's try this meditation. Sit comfortably. And we will do the meditation of Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur on the earth. So try to imagine the earth. Here it's hard inside. He says, "The earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who is always to be meditated upon." So the earth is Krishna's lotus feet expansion. All moving and non-moving living beings, like animals, trees, friends, enemies, have taken shelter of the earth and are thus sheltered at the lotus feet of my Lord. So we've got the lotus feet, we've got all living entities taking shelter of the earth, Krishna's lotus feet. "For this reason, I should respect every living being and not envy anyone. In fact, all living entities constitute the Kaustubha gem on my Lord's chest. Therefore, I should never envy or deride any living entity." So this is the meditation of Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. How everyone's connected to the earth, so we should not envy anyone. And by practicing this meditation, you can get success in life. Again, okay? So, the earth is visible to me everywhere I see. This earth is an expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who I worship. Now, all living entities have taken shelter of the earth, which means they have taken shelter of my Lord's lotus feet. For this reason, I should respect every living entity and not envy anyone. So this is the meditation on the earth of Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. So this is the lesson, the lesson of tolerance. So your homework is to either take this earth, the lesson of this earth, or of any of our gurus today, try to apply it to your life. And as I said yesterday, for those who are not here, you can also take anything in Braj as guru and apply it to your life. Like yesterday, I saw the donkeys rolling in the dust of Braj. So I learned that it's good to roll in the dust of Braj from the donkeys. I learned it, how to do it with your feet up. They were very good at it. They were very good rolling in the dust. So you can learn from these different creatures of Braj. So we will move on to the next one, is the mountain. The mountain and the tree are put together in Bhagavatam because they have similar qualities. So the verse says, "A saintly person should learn from the mountain to devote all his efforts to the service of others and make the welfare of others the sole reason for his existence. Similarly, as the disciple of the tree, he should learn to dedicate himself to others." So this is the lesson. Now, there are other lessons from the mountain, which I'll tell you too, from other sections of Bhagavatam. But first, I would just like to ask you, when you think of a mountain, what do you think of? Yes?
Challenging.
Challenging. Okay. What else? Chimati.
Steady.
Steady. What else? Yes?
Magnanimous.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Strength.
What?
Strength.
Strength, strength, strong, immovable, steady, yes.
Kusha. You can't move.
Yeah, immovable, right. Kusha.
Majesty.
Majesty. Majestic. Okay, very good. So we have the most majestic, immovable, beautiful mountain right here, Giriraj. And I'll read a verse from Bhagavatam describing the magnanimity of Giriraj. Spoken by Srimati Radharani in Venu Gita. "Of all devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. So, now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has a very interesting perspective on the mountains of Braj. He says that the mountains, unmoving objects like Govardhan Hill and other hills and mountains, loved Krishna in Sakyaras as a friend. So you can see a friend will give water, he'll give you a place to sit, he'll give you fruits, he'll give you flowers, he'll give you all these things. He said that the cows and the parents love Krishna in Vatsalyaras because they were giving milk. When Krishna became a calf, all the cows fed Krishna their own milk. And unmoving objects, or the ordinary animals, trees and bushes, were in Dasyaras. So this was Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So he's Govardhan Giriraj just like a friend to Krishna. Now another very wonderful example given in Srimad Bhagavatam, a lesson we can learn from the mountain, is from the, it's in the 10th canto, but it's also in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. At one time, Dhruva Maharaj, he was overcome by the enemy. He was fighting with yakshas and so many arrows, and he disappeared under the arrows. But then the effect of that was that it washed off all his incompetencies, and he came out even better from the mountain of arrows. So the example is given of a mountain. When lightning and huge rainstorm strikes the mountain, it becomes clean. So in the same way, when a devotee is faced with danger or a very challenging situation, then the result is, if he is steady in his Krishna consciousness, he will become clean, he will become purified, and he will go on to fight even stronger the battle for Krishna consciousness. So from the mountain, we learn the art of providing happiness to others. How did Srila Prabhupada exemplify this quality of, who can tell me how was Prabhupada exemplifying this quality of the mountain and the tree? Yes? He was patient when he first went to America. Yes?
I was thinking at his advanced age, with yes, the culture he had, he was cooking, cleaning, everything, yeah, for all of those
needs. He was cooking, he was washing our dishes. Not mine, but I mean, my friends. Yes.
He built a home where everyone can stay.
He built a house where everyone can stay. Yes, so this, yes, one more, and she's there with the mic.
Srila Prabhupada gave us so many things, like the mountain gives. He gave us his books, his teachings.
Oh, just like the mountain gave so many things to his friends. Okay, so Prabhupada gave us all these things. Prabhupada was so amazing. So I would like to read you, now this is in the mood of seeing more gurus while we're here in Govardhan. This is Sachinandan Swami. Seeing a guru over at Braja, where is that place you live? Braja Sundara? Vasundara, Radha Vasundara complex. He was staying in this very opulent place across on the other side. And his guru was the crack in the wall. Yes, so he was walking in the garden there, and he saw a crack in the wall, and this is how he describes the place where he's staying. The complex is a tourist resort for middle-class Indians with many nicely landscaped gardens and lawns, regular electricity, which one has to pay by the day, air conditioning, satellite TV in all rooms, golf course, and other modern facilities. Golf carts zoom around, energized by humming batteries. It is an artificial world within the original and simple rural Vrindavan atmosphere, almost like a small Disney world without Mickey Mouse. Strange. That's how he described it. I don't know if that's exactly how it is, but anyway, it was his impression of, that's across on the other side, 5,000 or something rupees a night if you want to stay there. An army of servants is required to maintain this man-made world. Cleaning, gardeners, accountants, armed guards, flower men, a paid pujari, even Arctic music machine with electric drums and gongs. One can feel captured within a golden cage, locked away from the free ecstatic world of Raj. Today I went on a japa walk. within the complex. Suddenly a shaft of light hit me. It fell through a crack in the wall. I looked through the opening into the majestic original landscape of Braj. At its trees, fields, cows, and waves of sweetness, I felt like a prisoner longingly looking into freedom through the prison bars. How much I yearned to be a resident of that land of love, I found myself mumbling. But in the afternoon, when I met the old gardener of the complex, my reserve feelings changed. The old man was in great bliss as he lovingly supplied water to a champak tree. What is his secret, I wondered. His answer came unexpectedly. We are directly in the laps of Giriraj, the best of Hari's servants. He explained, Giriraj is here, there, everywhere. He used to be a big mountain, but he sank into the earth. Beneath your house is his underground extension, his hidden lap. So beneath this Gangadam is Giriraj, Govardhan. We're in the lap of Govardhan right now. Isn't that wonderful? He's everywhere. He's below us. And he's out there, too. You can see him. Then, raising his arms, the old gardener shouted, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai! And here's the gardener. You can see him. He's got a big smile on his face. His words were powerful and spoken from realization. He brought me back to higher understanding. Krishna is everywhere, especially in Vrindavan. I felt the wall of my conceptions opening. Another wall cracked up. How could I forget? So don't forget, we're in Braj. And you can see Giriraj everywhere. You can see Krishna everywhere. But you have to search. You have to keep Krishna in your consciousness. Be Krishna conscious. And then you can see Krishna everywhere. And this goes for after you leave from here. Then you have to keep Krishna in your consciousness. And then you'll see Krishna everywhere. Even in your own place back home. So mountain, selfless service. Tree. Now, the tree is a bit different from the mountain. How is the tree different from the mountain? What's that?
Humble.
Yes?
It's growing and also
it's growing.
Producing things.
It's producing things.
Fruits.
Well, Prabhupada would say the mountain is also growing. So, yes?
Produces oxygen.
Oxygen, okay. Well, yes?
Shadow.
Mountain can give that too. Okay, I'll tell you. There's one more. Yeah.
I don't know. But
you might have heard it in the class.
I don't remember, but one thing that comes to my mind is that the tree is completely dependent.
Dependent. Tree is dependent. Okay.
Tree can be cut easily.
Can be cut easily.
Trees can give fruits.
Trees can give fruits. Yes, in the back.
This is humility. The more it is laden with fruits, the more it bows down.
Okay, the more it is laden with fruits, the more it bows down. And your next door neighbor?
Give shelter to the people.
Okay, but we didn't find out yet what Bhagavatam says, so I'll just have to tell you. The tree is movable. You can transplant it to different places. I mean, some trees. Or you even cut a branch and you can grow it. So the mountain is not movable, but the tree is movable. Yeah. So Prabhupada was like that. He was like a movable desire tree. He transplanted himself in America, in Europe, in so many places Prabhupada went. So he was like a movable desire tree, not one that was fixed. And he was tolerant like a tree too. So that's another quality of the tree, the tolerance. And you can take the tree, and the tree does not protest. You take it to another place, another place, another place. One time in London, Srila Prabhupada was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and the lake was frozen in the winter. It was like winter time, and ducks were walking on the ice, and they were kind of very frustrated because they couldn't swim. But then they found one spot in the lake where the ducks were, it wasn't frozen, and the ducks were swimming. And guess what spot that was? It was underneath a tree. So Prabhupada commented that the tree gives warmth in winter and shade in summer. And he said, that's why the six Goswamis used to live under a tree. because it gives you warmth in winter. A tree can make you warm. So therefore, underneath the tree, it was not frozen, and the ducks were swimming there. So these are the wonderful qualities of the tree. Krishna very much appreciated the service of the trees. He said their lives are completely dedicated to the benefit of others. This is in 10th canto, 22nd chapter. Even while tolerating the wind, the rain, the heat, and snow, they protect us from these elements. So they take all of this on them. They sacrifice themselves. They fulfill one's desires with all their leaves, flowers, and fruits. And then there's a very famous verse, Etavat jamasa phalyam dehinam iha dehisu pranayartar dhyavacha shaya acharanam sada. It is the duty of every living entity to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. And Prabhupada would say, okay, if you can't give your life, then give money, give some donation. If you don't have any money, then use your intelligence, give your intelligence. If you think you have no intelligence, then give your words. Speak about Krishna. So this is the tree. When you think of the trees in Braj, what do you think of? Yes? Kalpataruz. What's special about the trees of Braj? They are Kalpataruz. Prabhupada says if you want to, in the material world, a mango tree cannot give grapes, and a grapevine cannot give mangoes. But in the spiritual world, you can get anything from any tree. Yes? One leaf of a tree of Braj can liberate a universe. Wow, isn't that wonderful? So these trees, and when Krishna would blow his flute, then the trees would start moving. And the living beings, the animals and people would be stunned, and the trees and creepers would start moving. They would start shivering. So this is something about the trees. Anything else about the trees of Braj? Yes. Yes, the Tamal tree. Prabhupada, he wrote a letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He says, I am so pleased to note the contents which are exactly befitting your name, Tamal. Perhaps you know, Tamal is a nice tree in Vrindavan, and because the color of the tree exactly resembles that of Krishna, therefore Srimati Radharani always used to take rest underneath the Tamal tree when she was feeling separation from Krishna. So Prabhupada said this Tamal tree is reminding Radharani of Krishna. She was very... And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Radharani used to embrace the Tamal. There's a verse in Adi 4, oh, I've caught in the embrace of Krishna, and now my life is fulfilled. And she was taking the tree in her arms and thinking it was Krishna. And she was very happy. And Prabhupada also said Radharani in separation was embracing the Tamal tree. So there's another very special tree that, yes? Kadamba. Another very special tree.
Tamarind
tree. Yeah, that we said. Tamal, Kadamba.
She's saying tamarind
tree. Tamarind.
Mango?
Mango, no. Very special.
Tulsi.
Tulsi, yes. Tulsi. Tulsi tree. Yes, and this has been transplanted all over the world by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And he gave the first seeds to Govindadasi, one of our god sisters. And here's a letter to Govindadasi in 1971 about Tulsi. Your service in the matter of implanting Tulsi seeds is introduced in the Western countries has proved it definitely. Actually, you are Govindadasi, maidservant of Govinda. I always speak to many gentlemen how strenuously hard you work to have introduced Tulsi in the Western countries. And I'm hearing from everywhere that Tulsi is growing very luxuriantly. May Tulsi be kind upon you and introduce you to Krishna to be one of the assistant maidservant gopis in Vrindavan. Oh. So, Govindadasi ki jai. I remember I was in Florida and I wrote to Govindadasi and I said, please send me some seeds. So she sent me some Tulsi seeds along with some instructions. and I planted them, and they grew beautifully. So that's how it happened in the West. She was in Hawaii, and she was just mailing the seeds all over the world. Oh, well, of course, it was only America at that point, and maybe Europe, London. But we just grew them from the seeds that she mailed us, and Tulsi came. It's a very special tree. Tulsi also gives everything. And I have some more examples of Prabhupada with this quality of tolerance and service. Tolerant like a tree. He was in an airplane. In those days, in the 70s, they had a smoking section and a non-smoking section. In the front was the non-smoking, in the back was the smoking. But, I mean, it didn't help that much. But Prabhupada was in the non-smoking section, and there was these people in a rugby team in South Africa. They were in the smoking section. They were smoking in the non-smoking section. And the stewardess asked them to stop, but they didn't stop. And so then Prabhupada's servant was about to ask them, and Prabhupada said, "No, sit down. What is the difference between us and them if we cannot tolerate these sort of things?" He said, "Don't be an ordinary, common, foolish man." And so this was Prabhupada. Imagine. Remember one time somebody was sitting down next to me and smoking and non-smoking, and I just started crying. And then the stewardess moved the sign back so then I could be in the non-smoking. Moved the guy too. I couldn't tolerate, you know. Anyway, but Prabhupada tolerated. Another example, Bhakti Charu Maharaj. One day a senior godbrother was annoyed with me and was chastising me heavily. I was quite sensitive and I was feeling bad that he chastised me. When I went to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, "The sign of one's spiritual advancement is not the big position one has. Real sign of advancement is how humble and how tolerant one has become." So there you go. To be advanced means to be tolerant. And it's the gate, it's the doorway to open you to the higher levels of devotional service. It's nishtha, it's humility, chanada peace, and ichena. Then if you have that, then you can go to the taste, you can get taste for chanting the holy name. So we learned very similar things from the earth, the mountain, and the tree. Now we're going to have something different, the air. The wind is going to be our guru. Two types, one is the prana, which is the air inside, and one is the wind outside, which is blowing. And when you can perceive. So the lesson of prana, the verse says, a learned sage should take his satisfaction in the simple maintenance of his existence, should not seek satisfaction through gratifying material senses. In other words, one should care for the material body in such a way one's higher knowledge is not destroyed and one's speech and mind are not deviated from self-realization. So there's one verse in Bhagavad Gita which epitomizes this instruction. That's in the 6th chapter, that you should regulate your eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. So how many of you are trying to do that in your lives? Eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. Do devotees have recreation? What's our recreation? Kirtan, very good. Go to the Kirtan Mela in Mayapur. That's recreation. Yes, you have come. Me too. That's recreation that will satisfy all your senses. If you do that, it is wonderful. Parvati is in charge of Bhagavad Gita class in Vrindavan in the evening. So she says if you need something to do, you need some recreation, go to the Gita class. Yes. Did Prabhupada say anything about that, Malati, that you remember about, you know, recreation in Krishna consciousness? What's that? Going to see Prabhupada is recreation, okay. Jamuna, yeah, I can't. Going to the Jamuna, all right. Yes, and Ganga. Okay.
But he always had a connection why he wanted to see that. So he wanted to see the Washington Monument. He heard about it. And after seeing the Washington Monument, he gave instruction for the Swati. So the Swati in Mayapur is modeled, the dough is modeled.
The dough is modeled after the Washington. Okay. Prashanta, do we have a mic up here? Yes.
No, we don't. We didn't.
Yes, we do. Here.
The sound doesn't carry.
Yeah, that sound doesn't come. Yeah.
I mean, this is about rather holiday, not like recreation holiday. Prabhupada also said that in Krishna consciousness, we don't need a holiday because Krishna consciousness itself is already a recreation. It's already a holiday from material activities.
Okay, it's a holiday from material activities. All right, and
one more thing.
One more thing.
This for the yogis.
For the yogis, yeah.
For the yogis, recreation is going for a walk.
Going for a walk, because they're always in their asana, you know. So if you go for a walk, that's recreation for a yogi. Kusha, that will be our last. Parikrama, kijai. So go on. Vajamandala Parikrama, or All India Parikrama, or whatever, like I think two of our people here have done.
Theater.
Yes, we have our theater drama. We will have our recreation and also here. We have some drama coming up. And there's Govardhan Parikrama also. But you have to do it at night because in the day you won't have time. All right. So our second guru is wind. From wind you learn detachment from environment, detachment while traveling, and detachment from different bodies that you go through. Because we travel, we have, first of all, we're surrounded by different objects. Here's the verse. Even a transcendentalist is surrounded by innumerable material objects which possess good and bad qualities. However, one who has transcended material good and evil should not become entangled even when in contact with the material objects. Rather, he should act like the wind. So just imagine for a minute that you are the wind. Now you're going to go, you're traveling through very dark, dark, scary places. You're traveling, but you're not frightened. The wind is not frightened or disturbed. Or you may be going over a garbage pit and you're picking up a very bad smell, but then you pass over it and then you leave it behind. Or you may be going over a beautiful rose garden. You may be passing through a beautiful garden and you'll be picking up very beautiful, nice scents. But then you pass through it and you keep on moving. So our life is like that we go sometimes through very dark, dangerous places. Sometimes we have difficult situations. Sometimes things are very pleasing to us. Sometimes things are very displeasing. But we cannot hold on to any of them. We have to just let them go and keep on going with our lives. We have to be like the wind. And so we may be surrounded by different situations or objects, but we learn from the wind to just keep going through it. It will pass. It will pass. The wind, you just keep going in your Krishna consciousness. Another lesson from the wind is how sometimes the wind blows many directions at once. So what is that compared to? Guess what? Your mind. Your mind. It may go in many directions at once. So if the mind is constantly, oh, I like that, I don't like that, then how can you think of Krishna? So learn from this wind the art of moving through the material world without attachment. The wind just keeps moving, keeps going through its path. So that's one lesson from the wind. The second lesson, so detachment from different objects and situations that you go through. The second lesson is that we live in many bodies while in this world. We live in so many different bodies. We're moving like the wind. The soul is like the wind. The soul is moving through many, many bodies. But we know we're not the body. Of course, even though we know we're not the body, we think we're the body. So it's a problem. And also, we know we're not the mind, but we think we're the mind. So these, the gross and the subtle bodies, we should realize we are not. I am not this gross body, I'm not the mind also. And so therefore, don't be attached to, sometimes your mind is lamenting, sometimes your mind is rejoicing. But don't just be detached and keep on going through it. And sometimes the body is unhealthy, sometimes it's healthy, sometimes it falls, sometimes so many things happen to the body. But realize that it's temporary and just keep going and be detached like the wind. So we've had many, many births, and now we're in this body. But we will move on from this body and go to another body. Hopefully we'll get a spiritual body. That's what we're aiming for. But in case you don't, then it's better to be detached from the body in this sense. That it's not you. It's your car. So don't be too attached to the car. But keep it healthy, keep it nice, so you can use it in devotional service. And even in this life, we're changing. We're passing through so many bodies. We had a baby body, we had a young body. It's very hard for me to remember my young body. Because now, and when you're young, you never think you're going to be old. It's just out of the picture. You never, never, ever think you're going to be old. But when it happens, wow, I didn't think it was going to happen to me. But it does. Happens to everyone if you stay here long enough. But you must be detached from these bodies. How did Prabhupada exemplify these qualities? Prabhupada flew to so many countries which had many opulent facilities, but he did not linger in one place for any length of time, nor was he attached. Actually, he said he was cursed by the parents of his disciples not to stay anywhere for more than 3 days. So, and he says, I would like to pass the curse on to my sannyasis. And I think he did to some of them, actually. And they took up that traveling of Srila Prabhupada. I can think of so many, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Jagtak Maharaj. So many are like that. One day here, 3 days there. Now, one time Prabhupada was in the airplane and with Srila Kirti, and he was about 75 years old, and he was with many of his disciples. They were about 20, in their 20s. And so they were sitting in the same row as Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada's servant, Srila Kirti, said, I was fortunate to be next to him. And as the flight progressed, some of his disciples began to fall asleep and do what I call the devotee dive bomb. It was quite a sight, seeing a row of shaven heads bobbing up and down. Prabhupada was not amused. Just see, he said, everyone is wide awake except for the devotees. They're in Maya sleeping. Everyone else is awake. Why they cannot stay awake? Usually when Prabhupada addressed me in this way, I became silent. I was afraid of saying the wrong thing and possibly disturb him further. I simply sat in silence, waiting for him to stop. This was one such instance. So Prabhupada, I was on a morning walk. I was on a few morning walks with Srila Prabhupada in Juhu, Bombay. And I have this kind of a brain that I would always try to figure out Prabhupada, which was not possible, but I was trying. So he was walking, and we were walking, and I was like, 20-something, 24, 25, I don't know, and Prabhupada was 70-something, maybe close to 80, and he was walking so fast, and I was just trying to figure out, how does he do it? And why can't I keep up with him? And how is he doing that? So I would just look, and Srila Kirti said here, he says, sometimes on his morning walks, his disciples would look at each other, shake their heads, and wonder when he was going to go back to the temple because they were getting tired of walking. And so this was, and in the class, I would look at him and I'd try to figure out, it looks like he's here, but it looks like he's just projected. It looks like he's not exactly here also. Where is he? Even though it was impossible to figure out Srila Prabhupada with your intelligence, the only way you could reach Prabhupada was with your love, with your devotion. And that's the one thing that we learned. You can't figure him out. And so the wind, so the wind in Braj is very wonderful. It creates a pleasing atmosphere for Krishna and his pastimes, carries the fragrance of blossoming flowers. And in Vaikuntha, sometimes the devotees, they're doing kirtan, and the wind is coming. And usually in the material world, when the wind comes, then it creates little lusty desires. So their husband and wife are traveling, but the wind comes And they don't pay attention of it because they want to do their service. So the wind is not disturbing their service. They don't like the disturbance. They think it's this nice breeze is a disturbance to my service because I'm forgetting. It's getting in the way of my chanting, Hare Krishna, and my concentration. And so these things in the material world which people are after, they're like sometimes even a disturbance for devotees if they can't use them for Krishna. Of course, if they can use them for Krishna, then it's very wonderful. So there's a very famous breeze in Srimad Bhagavatam that this breeze caused some people to become a devotee. Does anybody know about that breeze? Yes. Four Kumaras. So the breeze was carrying the aroma of Tulsi. And the four Kumaras had a change of heart. Although they were impersonalists, they became devotees. Now there's also a very wonderful verse in Bhagavatam, third canto, that tells how to catch the attention of Krishna. We would like to catch Krishna's attention, wouldn't we?
Yes.
So, here we go. As the chariot of air carries an aroma from its source and immediately catches the sense of smell, one who is constantly engaged in devotional service can catch Krishna, who is equally present everywhere, the Supreme Soul. So if you want to catch Krishna, then you should be saturated with devotion. The smell, the aroma of devotional service. Then you will catch Krishna. So as a breeze carrying a pleasant fragrance from a garden of flowers captures the organ of smell, so one's consciousness, saturated with devotion, can capture the transcendental existence of the Lord in his Paramatma feature. So that's the wind, the breeze. Human form of body is a boat, the spiritual master is the captain, and Krishna's instruction is a favorable breeze. So these are the analogies of the wind. When Krishna was born, a pure breeze began to blow. And so the breeze is very prominent in the Leela of Krishna. Even in the Dhanukashura Leela, the wind was faithfully rendering service to the Lord by blowing throughout the forest, carrying the cool moisture of a transparent lake, thus giving pleasure to the sense of touch. By the sweetness of the wind, even the sense of taste was being stimulated, and the fragrance of lotus flowers was bringing pleasure to the nostrils. So the wind was responsible for pleasing Krishna's senses, the sense of touch, because it brought water, the sense of smell, it brought the fragrance of the flowers, and the sense of taste, even. So the wind is very wonderful in Krishna Leela. It's a very wonderful personality. And one time Yashoda was worried about Krishna coming home late at night. But the gopis were telling her, don't worry, he's just being worshipped now by the demigods. And there's a gentle breeze, and it's honoring him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood while the demigods are singing prayers. And so the wind has a lot of service in the spiritual world. Wonderful service. And here's the last one about the wind. Oh, a couple. One more. That actually, although the breeze was making everyone feel good in summer, it didn't make the gopis feel good because of their heart's dedication to Krishna. They were feeling so much separation, even the breeze didn't give them relief. And there's one more in Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When it says that when Lord Chaitanya visited Vrindavan, there was a mild breeze blowing, and the breeze had become a guru and was teaching all the trees and creepers how to dance. And so the wind in Braj is quite amazing. So what do we learn from the wind? Yes? Purifiers, I am the wind. Very good. Very good. Of purifiers, I am the wind. Yes?
The wind dispels the cloud. So in the same way,
The wind dispels the cloud.
Yeah. It dispels the cloud of illusion will be dispelled if you take the teachings of Madhvacharya.
Okay. Take the teachings of Madhvacharya or Sampradaya. Very good. Very good. Okay, we'll just have to move on now because we're a little bit short on time. Not so short, but we'll just move on. So what were the lessons we learned from this guru? The wind, before we move on, the wind that blows, what lesson did we learn?
Detachment.
Detachment. From?
Mind,
objects of the senses. Yes, objects of the senses and detachment. From the mind and from the body. Detachment. We learned from this guru. So sometime before today and tomorrow, your homework is to choose one of these gurus, one of the lessons, and try to remember during your day. If something comes up, try to remember the lesson. Our last guru for today is the sky. What are the qualities of the sky?
Vast.
Vast. Yeah. High. Yeah.
Invisible.
Well, it's kind of visible, but yeah.
Within and without.
Within and without.
Unlimited.
Good. Okay. It holds everything. It's the space for everything. It's the space. And we're also going to learn two lessons from the sky. The first lesson is how the soul and super soul are present within all beings, just as she said, that it's within and it's without. So the verse says, a thoughtful sage, even while living within a material body, should understand himself to be pure spirit soul. Similarly, one should see the spirit soul enters within all forms of life, both moving and non-moving, and that the individual souls are thus all-pervading. The sage should further observe the Supreme Personality of Godhead as super soul is simultaneously present within all things. Both the individual soul and super soul can be understood by comparing them to the nature of the sky. Although the sky extends everywhere and everything rests within the sky does not mix with anything, nor can it be divided by anything. So this is very important, that the sky, the soul and super soul are within all beings. It's the first lesson. And the second lesson is very similar to the wind. It's not exactly detachment, but it's to be the observer. So the sky is like observing everything. The sky is the background for everything. So now we're going to imagine that we are the sky. And the soul is compared to the sky. So we are the sky within this body, or we are the sky within this world. So here's what happens with the sky. Although the mighty wind blows clouds and storms across the sky, so you're the sky and now there's a huge storm going on in your sky. Similarly, the spirit soul is not changed or affected by contact with material nature. So sometimes there's wind, sometimes there's rain, sometimes there's hurricanes going on in the sky. Lightning, thunder. The sky, being very subtle, is not affected, but is the background. So sometimes in our lives, we have hurricanes going on. We have thunderstorms. We have, and sometimes it's peaceful, I hope. Maybe. Maybe when you sleep at night, maybe not. Sometimes you don't get to sleep at night. But yes. So we can learn from the sky that the soul is like the sky. It is the observer. It is the background for these things that are happening. Very subtle. Very subtle. So the sky in Braj is very wonderful. Sometimes it's monsoon and it's covered by dense clouds. So in the same way, the spirit soul is covered by the modes. And in the rainy season, the sky is covered by clouds and you have these little glowworms coming out. And that's compared to the atheistic yogis and atheists, the ones who say they are God, the impersonalists. And so the real stars are covered. So the real devotees, the real truth is covered in this age of Kali. But sometimes the moon comes out, and Prabhupada came out, the sun comes out, Gaurini Thai came, even in the age of Kali, to dissipate this darkness. So Srila Prabhupada said, people should take advantage of the actual luminaries of the sky. The real sun and the moon, not the glowworms. In Ras Lila, the sky was very important. When the full moon rose in the east, it tinged everything with a reddish color. And the whole sky appeared smeared by red kumkum. So this was the sky in Braj. So from the sky we learn that to be the observer, and how the soul and super soul is present within all things. Now, I would just like to read to you one thing that one of my students wrote in a seminar, and she wrote this. Oh, before I read you that, I'm going to tell you about Prabhupada, how he was not affected. This was in 1976. When receiving a presentation of some of his books recently printed in Portuguese by Hridayananda Goswami, Prabhupada encouraged him and said, "This is life. The material world is just bones. The bones are not our real life. Our real concern is the living force. The bones may remain or go, it doesn't matter. The real life is sustaining the bones. There is even a history, there was a rishi who had only bones. So there's a science by which you can sustain life only by bones. Hiranyakashipu did it. You're also doing it, Prabhupada," Tamal Krishna said. So Prabhupada said, "Take care of the bones as long as possible. But the real life is here. Always remember that. The material world means we're simply all protecting bones and flesh together, but they have no knowledge of what they are." And when a Treya Rishi visited Prabhupada and asked, "Please visit Tehran," Prabhupada said, "Yes, I'm ready to go, but now you have to take a bundle of bones." And so that was Prabhupada. He was very detached. The devotees had rented a room. This was from Bhargava, the Sheraton Hotel, a very famous hotel. But Prabhupada said, "These hotels are like brothels. I won't stay there. Take me to the temple." So they just had a small, noisy room with no furniture in it. They put down a cushion and a table. But Prabhupada was happy. He said, this is more than that fancy hotel. This is wonderful. And so Prabhupada was detached. He was like the sky. He was like the wind. He was showing us how to live in this world, how to move in this world. I would just like to read you something that someone wrote on the sky after hearing the seminar. This actually, they brought this the next day. "How far is it from the earth to the sky? Is it simply a question of miles? Can I go with an airplane or by spreading my wings? Can I go simply changing my style? Does the sky have a limit, either upwards or down? Are there borders, how far it can reach? Or is it equally present even under the sea, in my lungs, among people on the beach? How can I be connected to the limitless sky, be a part of the play on its stage? How long must I wait to find the key to the door of my self-made cage? If you want me to reach you," she announced Krishna, "then please stretch out your hands. I'm lost, lost on all levels of existence. By your personal touch, kindly make me understand that you are present on all sides of this space." So I thought that was a beautiful realization of sky. I can't remember her name. She's from Denmark. Some person living outside, but initiated. And she wrote, I have to get her name next time I go. I can't remember her name. Yes, she was initiated by Rata, something Rat. I don't remember his first, the whole name. Astarata. Can't remember her name right now, but it's a wonderful realization of sky and space. Space. So space is everywhere. Space is in. Space is outside. So I would just like to review a little bit of the homework. We have 5 gurus that we have heard from and learned their lessons. So we will review their lessons. From the earth, we learn tolerance and giving. From the mountain, sacrifice, be fixed. Friendship, magnanimous. So you have a lot to do today. Choose one. Dedicating yourself, service to others. Service to others. The tree, also very similar to the mountain. Okay, so now these lessons are very similar. I would just like to ask you, what would be a way that we could do this today? How could we practice tolerance, or how could we practice service to others? Who can give me an example or an idea? what we could do today. Gaurangi?
We don't have to practice the rounds. So many things are going to come that we don't want, so we are forced to practice it.
Okay, she says there's no problem with looking for situations. It's going to happen automatically. We're going to have to tolerate today. But you just have to remember the tree and remember the earth. Just remember the example and how the earth tolerates, how the tree tolerates. And then when something happens to you, then you have to tolerate. I remember and when I was in Mayapur, my internet stopped working. And so I had to, it was difficult for me because I'm addicted to my email. But even here, there's no time. So then the Kirtan Mela came and there was no time, and now here there's no time. So what to do? I guess Krishna is trying to tell me something. But yes, we have to tolerate anything else. How else can we apply this to our lives? So she says we will have to tolerate. There's no need to find examples. Service to others. Self-service. Prashanta.
I need more volunteers.
Prashanta needs more volunteers. For what? For what?
We have some roles in the drama.
Oh, if anybody wants to be in the drama, service to others. Okay, you can talk about it after. Roles in the drama. Okay, she needs somebody who can be in the drama. So there's something you can do. And tomorrow you can tell us about it, how you volunteered. Anything else you can do today? Some service, self-service, sacrifice? Yes?
I think for me, I thought it's more to always keep the service attitude.
To keep the service attitude.
The physical service is there. But
physical service is there, but
keep the service attitude.
What happened to your microphone? Yes?
Keeping that we are all together for Srila Prabhupada.
Keeping that we're all together for Srila Prabhupada.
Missing out on
you. Yes. Okay, so we've given you some ideas of what to do, what you can do today. You can volunteer for drama. You can have a good service attitude. Now, the next was the mountain, the tree, and then the wind. Now, the prana. First, we'll talk about the prana. What can you do today to practice the lesson of the prana in your life? Don't eat too much. Go for Govardhan Prakrama? No. Anything else? Yeah? No. Okay, how about the wind? How can we practice this lesson? Yes?
Wind flows everywhere.
Right.
So my service can go to every room and be in the room.
Okay, well, if you speak it, then watch out.
I want
to do. Yeah. Okay. But the lesson of the wind is actually detachment. So you can, if something happens to you where you're called upon to be more detached, then you can remember the lesson of the wind. And the sky, how can we apply that lesson today to our lives?
Observer.
Be the observer. Again, if something happens, hurricane, or somebody gives you the thunder, as she was talking about yesterday, the chataka bird sometimes gets the thunder when he's looking for the sweet rainwater, but he gets the thunder and lightning. He gets the lightning. So, okay, yes?
I remember some words that Prabhupada mentions in the class. He says, everything is being done by Krishna. So, the problem is that we become attached to certain ideas or thoughts and then we don't see the connection.
Right.
Everything is connected either to stimulate, encourage, or to learn a lesson.
So everything is connected to Krishna, and it would be good if we can try to see that connection today, how everything is connected to Krishna. Right. The only thing that's disconnected is our mind, usually. We see things disconnected, but nothing's disconnected. Everything's connected. As Adi Purush gave us a nice class in the Govardhan retreat, If some difficulty comes that you don't like, make a list of 10 reasons why you should say, thank you, Krishna, for giving me this. Thank you, Krishna, because, and you have to tell why. Thank you, Krishna, for taking away my internet, because now I get more exercise by going out of my room and going to the cyber cafe. Thank you, Krishna. And then you have to say, because, 10 reasons why when something happens to you. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me this asthma so I couldn't sleep at night, because then I could chant instead of sleeping free. I could chant a few more rounds at night when I couldn't sleep. So just, that's the way to apply it. So do we have any last questions? We have a few more minutes. I think my watch is a little
fast. What's the lesson of Trinavarta?
What's the lesson of Trinavarta, the whirlwind demon? Well, yes, that's very good because I have a quote here, which I didn't read. About the wind and brudge. And it wasn't the Trinavarta demon, but it's a similar idea because when the Trinavarta demon came, what happened? Everything was covered with dust. So, if I can find this quote. Okay, let me just look for a minute. It's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, I don't seem to be able to find it. But what it said was that when Krishna comes home at night, everything is covered with dust and darkness. But the gopis, they were still thinking of Krishna within that dust. So even though Trinavarta came and he covered everything with dense darkness and dust, still the devotees knew that somewhere in there, Krishna was there. And so we have to, even if our life sometimes becomes dark or covered with dust, we have to find Krishna there in that darkness. In that, they call it, actually the Sanatana Vritti is a level of devotional service we go through where all the dust comes flying out of our hearts. Just like when you go to clean a room that you haven't cleaned for a long, long time, then the dust starts to fly when you start cleaning. So our heart has been covered with layers of dust since time immemorial. When we start cleaning, the dust starts to fly, and we see all these things happening, coming out. But we should not go after the dust that's in our heart. We should go after, find Krishna, search for Krishna within our heart, covered by all the layers. We should search for Krishna there in our heart. So in any situation, if the dust is flying, we should search for Krishna. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains about the demons in Krishna Lila, that they are, represent different anartas in our heart. And Trinavarta is the anarta of pride in scholarship. You go very high. It's like Trinavarta, he can fly very high. So sometimes the scholars, they go very high in their Sanskrit and their, and they think they even know better than Prabhupada sometimes. So this is the fault of the anarta of the Trinavarta demon, which comes in your heart, a pride in your ability, in your knowledge, in your scholarship. Or even if, yes, yeah, later on, to be, I'm a great devotee, that's Kesha demon. But yeah, Trinavarta. Any other questions? Yes, Nila Laksha.
Searching Krishna is seeing Krishna.
Before searching Krishna?
Searching for Krishna, it means is seeing Krishna.
Oh.
Searching for Krishna.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. I know that purport. So she's saying, she's mentioning a purport from third canto that if you are searching for Krishna, that means you are seeing Krishna. Because you're looking for him. So you're thinking of him. So where is Krishna? How can I see Krishna in this? How is, what is the message he's trying to tell me in this situation? What is he trying to tell me? What is his message to me in this situation? Yes, that's good. Yes.
The sky acts as a motive for the first feeling for Krishna to
Right, the sky was the reddish, actually the moon rising, making the sky reddish, was a stimulant. We'll get to that when we talk about the moon, because the moon is also one of our gurus. Okay, so we'll stop here and come back tomorrow and try to, and if you don't have to limit yourself to these gurus, you can also find some other guru of Braj and learn a lesson and tell us about it. I think, Gaurangi, you learned a lesson yesterday, you told me?
Yeah.
What happened? There's the microphone. Here's an example.
Well, I was just walking upstairs, you know, and I was on my way downstairs. So I thought everything was, you know, well, flat. And all of a sudden there was a little stairs. I almost flew down the stairs. So I thought, okay, my first lesson, there is danger at every step. And you think, don't make assumptions, you know. You think, okay, everything should be fine. Because, you know, the architects think about it, but wash things around because they're not the way
turn it down. Yeah, I'll tell you one more lesson. Our pujaris, we learned in the pujari department yesterday that we were trying to make hot water for Giriraj with this little coil. So we put it in the plug, didn't work. Then we tried another coil, didn't work. And then she turned it off and I said, wait a minute, that light is flickering, so something's there. It's working. And then so we turned it, we tried to turn it on, no. Then we turned it off. I said, turn it off. And then it worked. Because off was on and on was off. Up was on and down was off. So things aren't always as they appear, especially in India. And she might have gave me the example of how she was doing something at the wash basin and the wash basin fell in her lap. And me also, yesterday I just leaned on it, you know, gingerly because I'm used to India, and it also was not steady. It's not like the mountain. The wash basins here are not like the mountain, so beware. Okay, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
I didn't understand the wash basin was what?
It's not stable. You can fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was trying to wash inside.
Something, yeah. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.